As Farouk said, I am from the CDC, but somehow our CDC logo got taken off our slides. So I'm just going to hold this up for the whole time, if that's cool. Please remember that, though. I am from CDC with the Community Guide. So this is on using the Community Guide to examine worksite influenza vaccination program effectiveness. This is a CDC disclaimer. The findings and conclusions in this presentation have not been formally determined by the Task Force on Community Preventive Services or disseminated by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and should not be construed to represent any task force or agency determination or policy. So briefly, I'll introduce you to systematic reviews for those of you who aren't aware. I'll talk quickly about the Community Guide, the branch that I work for, and then we'll talk about a systematic review of worksite influenza vaccination efforts, teams and concepts, some decisions we had to make, and some initial findings, and then end with some closing observations. So evidence-based public health is the development, implementation, and evaluation of effective programs and policies in public health through application of principles of scientific reasoning, including systematic uses of data, and information systems and appropriate use of program planning models. And this evolved from evidence-based medicine, which was first described in 1992, which is as the integration of best research evidence with clinical expertise and patient values. So part of evidence-based public health are systematic reviews. They use a systematic process to specify research questions, find relevant literature, assess quality of studies, and synthesize results. They use a method to distill and summarize large and diverse bodies of evidence. Like anything, there are some strengths and some limitations. Strengths being that it is a transparent and replicable process. They use a standardized method that reduces the potential for bias, and they consolidate potentially large bodies of evidence. Some limitations: they can take a really long time, especially if the evidence is very large, if there's a large body of evidence. And so by the time the results of a systematic review come out, the field may have already moved forward. Also, they attempt to categorize continuous bodies of evidence, and they're not able to fix gaps or limitations in the evidence. So garbage in the systematic review produces garbage out. So that brings us to the branch that I work for. The Community Guide to the Guide to Community Preventive Services, or the Community Guide. Our home is CDC, but we work for an independent task force of 15 national experts in public health, healthcare delivery, and systematic reviews. We have a method for conducting systematic reviews that is open to a broader range of evidence than other systematic review organizations, such as the Cochrane Collaboration. Our focus is on population-based policy and program interventions appropriate for communities and healthcare systems. Based on systematic reviews that we conduct, the task force draws evidence-based conclusions and issues recommendations regarding use of a specific intervention or combination of interventions. So the standard method that we use is first to assemble a team, and teams should include multiple perspectives and backgrounds. This leads to improving the completeness and accuracy of information, reducing the impact of individual or institutional perspectives, and enhancing the usefulness of the products. After the teams are assembled, we develop conceptual frameworks. From that conceptual framework, we search for and retrieve evidence. From the evidence, we abstract or code data. We summarize that evidence both by quality and by the findings within the evidence. And then the task force translates the strength of evidence into findings, which could either be a recommended intervention, a finding of insufficient evidence to determine effectiveness, or recommended against an intervention. For this particular review, the rationale was the following. So because of the public health burden of influenza, the threat of an influenza pandemic, the recommendations of ACIP and Healthy People 2010 for vaccinating high-risk individuals, which includes about 50% of the working population, and the effectiveness of influenza vaccination to address public health concerns, improve worker outcomes such as reduced morbidity and medical costs, and employer outcomes such as increased productivity, the worksite coordination team of community guide worksite coordination team determined the next worksite review should focus on evaluating the most effective ways to increase influenza vaccination of working populations in worksites. Speaking of the worksite coordination team, these are our members. So they represent task force members, CDC, and academic and private sectors. For this specific review within the worksite team, we pulled together an influenza team by requesting participation from organizations with worksite health promotion experience, specifically in influenza vaccination. And again, representing public sector, private sector, and advocacy groups. Once our teams were developed, we had some decisions to make along the way. So initially, our team wanted to focus on on-site programs. So these are influenza vaccination programs that are delivered at the worksite, as opposed to workers paying for programs to be delivered off-site. we also decided we would conduct separate reviews for the healthcare and non-healthcare settings because of different contexts, different motivations, and different applications between the two settings. However, our task force decided that instead of beginning with on-site programs, we should attempt to collect all possible interventions that could increase the vaccination, influenza vaccination work sites. So next week, we pulled together an analytic framework. So here are the variables that are important for this intervention and the influence on those variables of the intervention. We have the direct line to access as one of our parameters was that the intervention must administer the vaccine at work, increasing access. There's also an additional line connecting to the box that represents the potential other components the interventions may use to increase vaccination to work sites. Here we add the corresponding relationships, and finally we add additional relationships and variables that we do not think we will be evaluating for this intervention. So responding to the task force request that we look at all possible interventions, we developed what we hoped to be an exhaustive list of potential interventions. They represent enhancing access, provision of information, incentives, and policy changes that are not in those other category strategies. However, the data that I'm going to show you here only represent on-site passive and on-site active programs, and that's not because our team wanted to focus on that. That's because that's all we found for non-healthcare worker settings. So we searched the literature, found 4,000 plus references, removed duplicates, excluded irrelevant papers, pulled out the healthcare worker setting. We ended up with 51 non-healthcare worker setting papers. If you follow the trail, we ended up with six papers as our body of evidence, excluding papers for their design, so maybe they did an intervention and gave us post-only data for one group, which we, it's tough to evaluate the program based on that. So here's the evidence that we have. There are six papers, like I said, but there are seven interventions because the Janes paper actually looks at two separate interventions. So all these interventions have on-site vaccination programs. And again, that's not because we looked for that. It's because that was all that was available. However, the AMED study does not evaluate an on-site program. They look at the difference between providing one postcard reminder and providing two postcard reminders. So the majority of the studies were before, after one group designs with two papers using group trials, three arms. And the samples represent from 1,100 to 18,000 workers, everything from automotive to environmental remediation, et cetera, vaccine manufacturer. And the column all the way to your right, the additional components, these are above and beyond providing the vaccination program on site with reduced out-of-pocket costs, usually in the form of free vaccination, although in one instance it was a $5 copay. So this graph shows you the data. The effect sizes for on-site vaccination coverage change. As I said, the studies that are on the graph are the before after one group designs. So this is the change in post-assessment compared to pre-assessment, the percentage in vaccination coverage. And the triangle represents the program that only had on-site and reduced out-of-pocket costs, whereas the squares had additional components. So you have a median of 37 percentage point change. Compare that to the Jane studies on the bottom, which used a group trial design, and the median between those two arms is about 13.8 percentage points. So some of the other results, the AMED-04 study evaluated the effectiveness of using two postcard reminders against one postcard reminder in high-risk workers and showed a percentage point difference of 0.8 percentage points. And ALCEL 99, that was conducted in the Philippines, evaluated the change in the average number of sick leave days claimed before implementing an on-site reduced out-of-pocket cost vaccination program against the number claimed after the program, and they saw a reduction of 0.01 days per person. So some observations. There appears to be a positive effect from implementing on-site reduced out-of-pocket cost influenza vaccination programs. We were surprised at the relatively small body of evidence, given that 80 to 90% of large employers offer worksite-based vaccination programs, yet we only found 6 qualifying studies evaluations. So next, we'll conduct a similar review in the healthcare worker setting, and we'll present our findings to the task force, who will translate that into a recommendation or an insufficient evidence finding or a recommendation against. We do foresee some interpretability problems for implementers. For example, the public health workers may see the increase in vaccination coverage as good enough, but employers may be looking for a bottom line. Does it increase productivity? Does it reduce costs? And the only data that we were able to find was in the ALCEL study that saw a reduction of 0.01 days per person. The other challenge that we've had is on the teams that I presented earlier, we've had real weak participation from individuals or organizations that have a workforce perspective. So we have employers, we have scientists, we have academics, but we've had challenges getting participation from the workforce. Thank you. Oh, and if anybody would like to learn how to abstract articles and join our team, we would give free training. And there's my contact information.
So any questions? Well, I have a question. When do you think you will complete your reviews?
So the task force meets 3 times per year. They just met in February, so we hope to present our findings to the task force in June, which will be the next task force meeting. And based on their decisions, the review would be either be complete or they would send us back to do more work. So hopefully in June.